Welcome
to the Local Economic Development Podcast,
hosted by Sean Cunningham
and Jörg Meyerstam.
For other programs in this series,
please have a look at www.ledcast.net. Sean, the topic I'd like us to address today is how the concept and the practice of local economic development in South Africa has changed in recent years. I still recall that one of the training courses I was running a couple of years ago, one of the participants stood up and asked whether government was aware that I was in the country and what I was doing there, because he felt that the kind of inputs I gave, which were about, well, economic development in terms of business development and introducing issues like competitiveness, were not at all aligned with South African policy. And basically he wanted me to be kicked out of the country, but he didn't put it that bluntly. And I think that kind of this kind of incident wouldn't happen these days, or would it?
No, I don't think it would happen, although you have added some new controversial topics to your series of presentations. But yes, when you and I started working on LED together in South Africa, you actually started before me, there was a real project-driven approach to local economic development, where there were collectives of people, groups of people, applying for funding from some or other grant fund, and then using this funding to set up some kind of an enterprise, and then over time struggling to keep this enterprise going. Examples of that would be a chicken hatchery or a dairy factory or something like that. So yes, it started off in projects that was very much run by a project manager, to nowadays where there's emphasis on strategic competitiveness of areas and regions, and increasingly the topic of competitiveness is being discussed. It's not as discussed as much as you and I would like it to be, but at least we can now get onto a stage and talk about competitiveness without being thrown off.
In those projects that you just mentioned, where you often had groups involved, I mean, you had groups involved because government regulations stated that this couldn't go to individuals for obvious reasons, but had to go to groups. I always wondered, did those groups actually exist before, or were they just formed on the occasion of applying to receive some funding? So was there internal coherence in those groups, or were they just random selections of people who were put together by some counselor so that he or she could qualify for funding for some activity?
Well, Jörg, what often happened was that the grant funds, was really focused at community level activities. So the community members chosen or elected or that volunteered to go into these projects certainly knew each other from a social perspective. But you know, when you start a business with 19 other business partners, you are running a little democracy. And that was really the downfall of the process, was that it was the group dynamics didn't really allow this project to be a real business. And in many cases, these businesses were set up within real demand, within real where there were real proper demand. But simply due to the structure and the nature of these businesses, they simply could not always completely exploit the opportunities available.
So when you say demand, you refer to demand in the market for the kind of product that they would come up with?
Yes, yes. And sometimes demand from the people providing the funding, but then that's another story.
So looking back at this project approach to local economic development, I always got the distinct impression that the intentions behind this were, well, not actually so much about economic development in terms of business development, but primarily about, well, social policy. It was about doing something good for disadvantaged group of people, of generating income opportunities for relatively poor people.
Yes, I mean, essentially the biggest fund that contributed and funded these projects was a poverty alleviation grant fund. And in the structure of these funds, you cannot give grant funds to business people. So there was a little bit of trying to get poorer communities into the economic system. I think all the intentions were really honorable, but that some of the real big problems came in with how these projects were designed and managed. I sometimes got the feeling that if they simply called these things poverty alleviation projects, they would have worked much better than trying to disguise them as businesses.
Yeah. Was there at any point really ever a chance that these projects would evolve into proper businesses, not relying on grant funding, not relying on external support?
Well, there the results are very mixed, because there were many instances where these projects actually grew into fully fledged businesses that could fly. But the majority of them really needed constant management from public officials and several injections of more funds. So many of these projects never really grew into proper businesses.
Now, this approach has very much shaped the understanding of local economic development, and I think there's still lots of people around in South Africa who would connotate local economic development with poverty alleviation projects. Still, the official policy with respect to local economic development has changed, and has changed quite fundamentally. Why did that happen? Where did that policy change come from?
I think for two reasons. Firstly, the funding of these LED projects were done from external funding managed by independent agencies in South Africa. So they, in municipalities, they would appoint a local economic development officer that was basically a project officer and that would apply to these funds for projects. But it was very clear, I think, from early on that this was not giving the desired results. And in South Africa, one of the big national priorities and central government strategies now relates to economic development. So in a way, the maturing of the LED policy in South Africa also followed the national discussion around how do we get the economy to grow and how do we get the economy to create jobs and how do we get to the Millennium Development Goals. So LED was something small and insignificant in the beginning, but it's increasingly become really important in South Africa.
To what extent are then structures in place at the local level that can really match these much bigger expectations?
Well, there's a nice long topic to discuss. In the bigger places, Jörg, in the urban centers, you have very well-structured, well-designed, and in many cases, well-resourced LED units. But the truth is that the moment you move out of your bigger centers to some of your more rural municipalities, you often do not even have LED officials or an LED manager, or you have a doubling of functions where the LED officer reports to the social department, or where the LED manager is also the IDP manager and also doing something else. So in South Africa, I think that even in some of the big places, people have been caught offside with this new, more holistic approach to LED.
To what extent is it then possible to relatively quickly upgrade, well, especially the public sector capacities, to actually respond to these policy objectives and to come up with a local economic development approach that has ultimately a significant impact on the growth of the economy?
Well, there's more than one answer to this. The first challenge that we have is that there's people in positions now that don't have the right skills. And it won't take one or two short courses to get them to the right skills level. So there's a lot of people that's employed now for project management skills, where they really need to understand how the economy works and how markets work. So maybe that's the first challenge that we face. The second challenge that we face is that the new framework is now approved, but many of the local governments have not made provisions for funding for local economic development. And this local economic development activities must be funded from their own internal revenue streams. So, of course, the smaller and the weaker municipalities are really confronted by a lack of funding to really do this local economic development activity. And maybe a third challenge is that the private sector has really been left out of the debate, and that their role in local economic development, even as an organized business sector, has this far very much focused on social activities and corporate social responsibility, and not so much on really forming partnerships with the public sector on LED.
Maybe let us look at some of these points. Looking at the capacity and the capacity bottlenecks, one of the responses that have been formulated has been the idea to come up with dedicated agencies, that is, to set up local economic development agencies that are staffed with professionals, so that you don't have to rely anymore on this one person or this small group of persons who are basically project poverty alleviation project managers. How did that approach work out, trying to create a dedicated capacity for more competitiveness-oriented local economic development?
I think in many places these agencies were started for all the wrong reasons. And these relate, very often the main reasons for starting an agency was to try and get faster decisions made, or to get something that is on a standalone basis still somehow responsible to local government. And in many cases, people started these agencies to get access to a pot of grant funding that's been available to start these kind of agencies. There's very few places where people started these agencies with a real strategic perspective in mind of some goal that they want to pursue. So maybe that has been one of the responses, and also one of the reasons why I think so many of these agencies have not delivered on their promises.
Another point that you just highlighted was the availability of funds and the fact that many municipalities have not made funds available. Now, the matter of the fact is that in some of the provinces of South Africa, there are specific dedicated funds available at the provincial level because of major donor projects. To what extent do you feel that under these conditions, where a significant amount of money is actually available, local municipalities or district municipalities come up with, well, good, convincing and effective proposals for projects?
Yes, we are fortunate that we have in several of our provinces that we have really large funds available, and that many of these funds are orientated to competitive processes and improving competitiveness. But the challenge is still that you need a competent public sector. You need people with the right skills to pull the right stakeholders together to really put forward a proposal to one of these funds. And this has been one of the real headaches, is to try and get a local government to reach out to the private sector and to come up with a joint proposal that would then be approved for funding. And maybe to link that to a previous discussion we've had, that very often applying together for funding like this is the first time that the public sector and the private sector really speak to each other. So there's been very little build-up and very little trust building between the various players, even between the private sector business people and between various levels of government. So sometimes these proposals is just not substantial enough to really get change going between the different actors.
Maybe let us wrap up this conversation on recent changes in LED in South Africa with just one final question. To what extent do you think is it possible to actually come in with economic development initiatives at a local level, or maybe at a regional level below the provinces, that would actually give a significant boost to economic growth, a significant boost to competitiveness of the South African economy?
So you mean that to what extent is it possible to really do something at a local level that will change the status quo?
I understand that the intention currently is to use local economic development to actually strengthen the competitiveness of South Africa in a globalizing economy. And I'm curious to hear to what extent you think that this is a realistic objective.
Yes, well, I think that if the expectations aren't managed carefully, then this is also going to have repercussions. One of the challenges that we have is that in many of our smaller municipalities, the business people are not properly connected into value chains or supply chains. And as individual firms in the new global business world, they really don't stand a chance. And the same goes for enterprise formation in a small town. The small independent business people really struggle to keep their heads above water. So I think that to really get localities to grow and to be more competitive, one would have to work with collectives, whether they are in a cluster or in a value chain or within a specific subsector, that one can build something strong as a foundation for further growth.
So the essence of your response is there is actually quite some latitude to significantly improve competitiveness and contribute to growth at a local and regional level if you do it properly.
If you do it properly, yes, I think. And I think that even in some of the places where there's a lot of potential but where not a lot is going on, I think if one can start a process of slowly but surely bringing the people together and bringing in investors and taking a multi-pronged approach, I really believe that one would be able to build up these areas if one can get the right leaders, the right champions to take the lead.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Sean, for this conversation.
Okay, Jörg. Speak to you soon.